Good morning. I'm so pleased to be with you today. I'm actually not going to be talking about aging, although it's the aging process. I'm going to be talking about teenagers, youth, and transition age youth with developmental disabilities. So I have no disclosures today. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the California State Council on Developmental Disabilities, which provided the grant funding for the project, and also Westside Regional Center, which is the California Agency for Developmental Disabilities, at which the research was done, and all the planning committee members, and our participants and peer mentors. So this just gives you an idea of what we're going to talk about today. Pretty standard. As we know, overweight and obesity is one of the most important problems that are impacting the youth today. Youth with developmental disabilities face all of the factors leading to overweight that typical developing youth do, but additionally, they might have underlying genetic conditions that cause increased weight. They may have comorbid medical conditions and medications that produce weight gain, especially, for example, the antipsychotics are the most commonly cited there. Fitness levels are much lower, and this is likely due to lack of accessible venues for exercise and also a significant intimidation factor. I know that living in the Los Angeles area, I'm intimidated when I go to a gym, and I can only imagine for a person with a developmental disability who's even less able to influence the gaze of others on them, how they might feel. In addition, there's a significant lack of knowledge on the part of families about the abilities of their children. And frequently, there are also financial and cultural limitations to families' attainment of their goals. So I'm briefly going to tell you about our journey to the teen program. We started with a healthy lifestyle change program for adults. It was a community-based participatory intervention that was brought to us thanks to clients with developmental disabilities and their families. They brought the issue of obesity to us at the agency and in turn to our research team. So we designed a program in conjunction together for adults, which was a 6-month program. It actually lasted 4 years now. And one of the most important parts of the program was the peer mentors, who were peers who had been chosen as models to co-lead the intervention. So the Healthy Lifestyle Change program really became a social group, and we found that there was a significant weight loss, and there continues to be weight loss today. So with that background, we had similar situation with the teens, that we had families who recognized that there were adults going to this program. Well, why can't we have them for our teens? And they brought it to our staff, and they became part of our planning committee, and we started the Teen Scene program. The Teen Scene is actually named by the teenagers themselves. And our planning committee was really a community-based participatory project that included parents of youth with developmental disabilities, staff, nutrition, fitness experts, and researchers. And they decided all together, it was a democratic process on deciding all matters of design, implementation, and evaluation of the program. One of them was supposed to be here with me today, but couldn't make it. So one of the key important aspects that I've started to talk to you about was peer mentors. There were teens with developmental disabilities who attended classes in leadership and communication and goal setting, and obviously nutrition and fitness, and then really motivated the participants and co-led the intervention. Also, they joined the planning committee and had a vote in the design, et cetera, of the project. Finally, we piloted the curriculum with our 9 peer mentors prior to the rollout with the participants. So participants were recruited throughout Western Los Angeles County, and we used a variety of methods, mailings, e-blasts, newsletters, presentations at community agencies. And we included a lot of incentives. The classes were free. There were snacks and meals that were healthy, usually healthy food demonstrations, and then the teens participated to make the snacks themselves, and access to a nutritionist and a fitness trainer. Our intervention was a 12-week program, and there were three classes of 2 hours each after school, so it was equivalent to an after-school program. We did 12 weeks because everyone decided together that was about all the commitment that the teenagers and their parents could make to a program. And we included nutrition, physical activity, and behavior modification, including goal setting and the incentives I spoke to you about, and we had field trips, for example, to fast food restaurants to practice the skills that were learned in the classes. Here's an example of our class in which the theme was portion control. Our nutrition expert really tried to use experiential methods of learning as well as visual, both of which we found were developmentally the most appropriate for our patients, our participants. We used a hand jive for portion size, so you can see the different hands sizes for the different portion sizes. And the teens made their own portion plates. They drew them themselves, the little portions, onto a plate that they could then take home. And this is our teen scenes in action. So our evaluation, we measured pre and post intervention, and they included BMI and questionnaires on nutrition, physical activity, and well-being and self-confidence. And I can show you a couple questions. How many glasses of water do you usually drink each day? And well-being and self-confidence, I am happy with who I am. So we had 46 teens sign up for the program, but only 30 came to the first orientation class. Out of those 30, we had 17 for pre and post evaluation, so we lost a third of them. As you can see, there was a nice mix of age and race ethnicity, which is reflective of those in California with developmental disabilities. We had a number of bilingual participants. There were more young men than women, which is also typical of developmental disabilities. And we didn't limit based on intellectual ability, so there was also a range there. So of those 17 who we had pre and post for, we had a decrease in BMI from 31.7 to 31.3, which was really nice to see. And what was more impressive, though, was the peer mentor BMIs, which was from 30 to 28.4, taking them on the average out of the obese category into the overweight category. And that's significant at the 0.01 level. I didn't put the significance on there, so I apologize for those two slides. What I'm not showing you is the results of the questionnaires. We piloted them with the peer mentors, and there really were no issues then, but with the participants, it seemed that there was some misunderstanding of the questions, especially the questions that had to do with time and frequency. There was some misunderstanding of, well, I do it this week, but I don't do it all the time, and so forth. And there was also quite a bit of, shall we say, collaboration on the answers, so we didn't feel like these were a valid assessment. So we're really relying on the BMI for the results. We also did structured interviews with the teens following the program, and this gives you a lot more understanding of the value of the program to them. I love the last quote on there. Instead of always sitting in front of the TV, I'm now walking by myself or walking my two dogs every day. I think that just kind of sums up what the program does or can do. We also followed up the peer mentors, and the peer mentors had even more success, and that's reflected in their statements as well. In particular, I'm usually really shy. Being a peer mentor really helped me to get out of my shell and talk to the other teens. And I'll tell you, this is from a peer mentor who has severe autism. Prior to the program, he really wasn't speaking very much to anyone, and much more echolalic phrasing. So overall, the teen scene program resulted in weight loss and reduction of BMI and increased exercise, and those who were peer mentors had even greater weight loss. And we have shown that it is feasible to have a program designed for teens by teens with developmental disabilities, and of course we need to do a lot more controlled studies to replicate and the findings. So as always is the case with research, we did have some hard-learned lessons along the way. Attendance really was an issue, as you might imagine, with a teen's busy schedule. Add on to that any interventions that they're doing because of their developmental disability. There were only, as I mentioned, about two-thirds as many who started the first class as who ended. And I'm sure that the results of the weight loss would have been not as impressive if we had all 30 of the BMIs. On the other hand, they're fairly comparable with the drop-off rates to other commercial programs and other academic programs. And there was value to the ones who did come. I mentioned the evaluations. And then finally, uptake has been more of an issue than I had expected. We've manualized the program and presented it to the other regional centers throughout California who've shown great interest but have not been able to undertake the project so far. And this really seems to be due to a budget climate in California. We had a grant to start this off, and because of that, we got a lot of agency buy-in. But our other sister agencies don't have that advantage. So I'm hopeful that as the fiscal climate improves, we'll see more uptake of it. And I will tell you that we have one very important project that has come forth from the Teen Scene program, and that's the Families in Motion program. A lot of the families who participated in the Teen Scene also had younger children in the 6 to 12 age group, and they were asking for a similar program. So we just piloted a program for ages 6 to 12 and their families. So stay tuned for more on that. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share this program and take questions afterwards.